This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Whoa.
Very cool.
That was a little too rock and roll for me.
Was that something corporate?
It was something corporate, but it wasn't the band Something Corporate.
Oh, it was just, yeah.
That
was
amazing. Hoodie, your thoughts.
That was, I think that's like what the kids call post-hardcore.
Oh, what's that?
Really? It's not just pop punk?
Yeah, no, that's not pop punk. That's like hardcore, post-hardcore. Very popular in the alternative Warp Tour scene. You can go see them all this summer at your favorite outdoor music venues.
Oh, so you're
sponsored
saying...
by Vans.
Sponsored by Vans. Vans Warp Tour. Yeah, there you go.
Is there still a Warp Tour?
Oh, yeah, there is. But we shouldn't talk about them unless they're paying us money.
All right, cool.
All right, nice.
Fuck those guys.
What band was that basically a parody of? Like, what actual band sounds like that?
I don't know. Like, someone that's not... gonna be very successful in 2016.
Yeah, I feel like the voice was very pop punky, but like
it was. It needed a deeper voice. I wanted to hear some screaming, so
that
some
that
guttural.
Was auto-tuned.
Like,
if I were, yeah, have we
that's
gotten a hardcore
for.
Song yet?
Yeah,
I would love a hardcore song.
Well, that guy's name was Wesley Forquer. Forquer, F-O-R-Q-U-E-R. It may be short, but I wasn't sure how long a theme song should be. I'll tell you, it was long for a theme song.
Yeah, there is. There's enough.
Also, if you want, please shout out my SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/Scream to Breathe.
That sounds like a hardcore band.
There we go, Scream to Breathe.
If I were, yeah!
That's a pretty solid name for a hardcore band.
It must be hard to be a music producer for one of those. Like you have to set the mic set to like one. Because he's like, I'm gonna scream at the top of my lungs.
Yeah.
Make sure it doesn't peak.
No,
I don't know, you're
sure
a musician. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, I mean, you know, Scream to Breathe.
You ever scream in your songs?
No, just in my sleep.
I love that.
I am a demented individual, actually.
Hoodie Allen, you were on, this is your second time on the podcast, right?
Oh, man, it is. I'm very excited to be back. There's a moment that I listened to over and over again on our first podcast episode.
Oh, really?
I think it's kind of classic.
Episode 86, by the way. I just looked it up.
The real listeners know.
In like 140 episodes.
What's the moment that you listened to?
Oh, when we gave a whole answer in rap form.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Maybe we should do that at the end of this episode, too.
Maybe, yeah.
To keep people listening. You want to leave a little treat at the end of the episode. Yeah. Otherwise, they'll die off. They'll stop.
Oh, you know what? We should
instantly.
Really bury it in the ad. In the
oh,
middle.
Yeah.
You
so
the mid-roll.
So there's
don't
two,
skip.
Underneath the ad, you'll hear us freestyling. It's
you can
be
unlock
very...
the freestyle if you buy a Squarespace website.
No, we'll put it at the end
QR
of this.
QR code.
The real deal. Yeah, no QR codes necessary. Thanks for coming back.
Oh, man, of course.
This is your second studio. When you came to our first house, which is where we had our first studio.
Yeah, this house is awesome.
Do you like this house better than the other house?
I mean, this house is that Vimeo money. Like, yeah. For sure.
Vimeo cash.
This is the house Lonely and Horny built.
Yes, house Lonely and Horny built for sure.
We're actually leaving this
which
house.
Which is great, by the way. If
oh,
you guys
thanks,
haven't
bro.
Checked it out and are listening... Stop listening right now and check it
oh,
out.
Oh, wow. Thank you. High praise.
Yep.
Now we don't even have to do the episode. Nope, it was supposed okay. to be an ad for
long
a
long ad
show, but yeah, you got it out of the way early.
Amir is writing quicker. Hoodie a check right now.
quicker than the Scream and Breathe intro.
I feel bad that we woke you up and dragged you over to our studio. We're like, we have to record right at 11. You were asleep an hour ago, right?
Yeah, but weren't you also?
I think I woke up around 9.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because
well, you got to understand, he's still on New York time. So
yeah.
Him and like for, 2 p.m.
No,
yeah.
that makes it worse.
Oh, yeah.
It's like 2 p.m. and you're asleep. Yeah.
Is that what you do? Are you a late to bed, late to rise?
Actually, I am. I'm definitely like a late person, but like in LA you sort of feel motivated to be up earlier.
Yeah. Way everything up, happens 3 hours earlier here.
Like, sports,
yeah,
which is trippy. Like
6 p.m. start time. It's still light out.
Crazy. And well, I like it when it's football season because you're like really like, oh, yeah. 10 a.m. like, yeah, first football game. I mean, that's
football
cool.
season is perfect. Like, I wake up and there's football until you're go to what? Bed. It's so nice. Sunday's my favorite day of the year
because of your church going, right?
Yes,
my like, pastor, I started with I church and then pastor. Fantasy football.
All right, so I mean, you're an old veteran. You don't need us to explain it, but just in case this is your first episode ever listening to the show, I'm sure a lot of your fans are like, oh, Hoodie was on this podcast. Let me tune in and see what's what. I should let you guys know that this is an advice show. Mm-hmm. We're not just going to be interviewing each other. We're actually, people will email us seeking our guidance, our wisdom, really. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just me and Jake. Sometimes we have a guest. Today we have you.
Yeah.
Frankly.
frankly, it's you.
Quite frankly. These are real emails from real people we're going to be answering. And if you have your own questions, you can send it to If I Were You Show. This is the first question. Let's give this dude a fake name if you can, Hoodie. Hoodward. Hoodrow. Just so we can preserve their anonymity a little bit.
It's a guy.
But when you do say it, you want to get really close to that microphone, otherwise we can't hear it, and then it goes away forever.
The first name and a last name, or just the first name?
Ooh, let's go first and last.
Felipe Bonaventure.
Wow.
Whoa.
Thank God I said first and last. What if you just said Felipe? What a waste that would have been.
It's the coolest last name ever.
Yeah.
Felipe writes, hey guys, first of all, I'd like to preface this email saying I only found your show in the past February, but fell in love immediately. I decided to start from the beginning, and I've only gotten through the first 100. My favorite so far is the one featuring Hoodie Allen, where you all rap.
No.
Yeah.
Wow. You fake fan.
Anyway, here's my conundrum. I'm a 25-year-old male, not quite an FDR, male dime, but not too shabby looking either.
Why FDR is male dime?
I thought about it for a little bit. I think it's because FDR is on the dime.
I should have thought about it a little bit too. I just ask questions, you know? I don't find my own answers. I'm a fucking hack. Hey, all right,
let me
go
finish
on.
This.
Sorry, yeah, of course.
So not quite an FDR.
Sorry. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah.
All right. Fuck you, Hurwitz.
Hey, come on,
is
man.
Is my mic on?
Yeah, it is.
All right.
Of course it is. It's always on. You don't have to ask.
You're recording?
Yes, always recording.
Have we started?
Yeah, we started.
Stop asking questions.
Yeah, for 7 minutes.
No, you guys played the intro yet?
Yeah, we did the intro. Remember, it was the If I Were.
I'm on this episode?
Yeah, you're on it. So of course you are. Yes, yes. Every reality, as you know, it is true.
This guy's last name is Bonaventure?
That's correct. 25-year-old male. Not quite a dime, but not too shabby looking either. I'm pretty quiet and I'm reserved mostly, making it a bit hard to meet and hook up with women. On the other hand, when I drink, I get wild. I gain a lot more confidence and I can pick up women with greater success. The problem arises when things start to progress and my drunken skills land women in the bedroom, where the copious amounts of liquid courage start to catch up with me. For more than half of the past several encounters in which I've brought a chick home, my dick quits on me, leaving me blue-balled and the girl unsatisfied. It's a classic case of a whiskey dick. Mm. My question is, how do you guys recommend combating this blue-ball epidemic, especially considering that I need the drink to get my chill on with the ladies? Yours truly, love, Felipe Bonaventure.
Alrighty.
So this guy has to live in this delicate balance between drunk enough to talk to girls, but not too drunk to hook up with them.
Yeah. Thoughts? Do you have any initial thoughts?
Does this resonate with you at all?
I do have some initial thoughts, but I almost want to pass it to you guys first. Because
okay, I also have some initial thoughts.
Okay,
and I appreciate the pass.
Yeah. Yeah,
I will accept.
Yeah, and I will too pass.
And I,
and
will
I
take...
to me and me backwards.
And if the three of us
you,
pass, we move on to the next question.
For it has been decreed a pass. The first pass in 200 episodes.
I have a three-pronged approach here.
Wow.
To varying degrees of...
We'll call it a salad fork theory.
So, number one.
Yeah.
No more whiskey. Drink vodka Red Bull.
Oh, you think whiskey dick is specific to whiskey and not just alcohol?
I think there's a chance that like the Red Bull and a vodka Red Bull is going to keep you fucking. I think that there's a chance that
you... So you think it's a tiredness issue?
I don't know exactly what it is. I just know that I always fuck real nice on vodka Red Bull.
It's true. It's okay. True.
Second is... This is another thing that I used to do. I at like an hour before the bar closed, so like in New York, or I think it was like 1:30 or something.
Yeah.
Here it would be like 12:30. Anyway, I get an alarm. I set an alarm on my phone that just says drink water.
Okay.
So I'm out, I'm drinking, I'm dancing. Then 1:30, I start drinking water. For me, it was all about not being hungover, but I can see it working for this guy.
Yeah, you start sobering enough. and up enough to.
Yeah, you want to be drunk enough to meet, but not too drunk to fuck. So you're drunk when you meet, and then if you feel like it's going to go a certain way, you're going to go home with somebody, then you start drinking water. Mm-hmm. My last, and this is my real advice, is that I don't think anybody is as amazing as they think they are when they're drunk. Everybody's like, when I'm wasted, I'm like super charming and I can bring anyone home. It's like, no, when you're wasted, other people are wasted and they think that you're not an idiot and they go home with you. So just drink a little bit less.
It's mostly about the courage element. You have to kill the power part of your brain. In you.
Yeah, the whiskey doesn't unlock it.
The power is within you. Mm-hmm. But the question is getting over that anxiety. Like, are you guys good at talking to ladies completely sober? You're sober. You see an attractive lady. Do you have the balls to overcome the anxiety of, oh my God, what if I get rejected?
I think so. But that mostly comes with being a world famous rapper.
Yeah, the problem is that he's not a famous.
Well, you know what? I don't think this is an alcohol issue. I think this all stems back to confidence in general. Correct. And if I was to take a guess, I don't think he's being. And, you know, sorry, Felipe, like, I'm not trying to tuck you down. Like, this has happened to everyone before. But, like, I don't think it has much to do with, like, the fact that he drank too much and, like, now is impaired. I think, like, once he gets into that situation, he's probably just getting nervous.
Oh, you think he can't fuck because he's nervous in the moment rather than because he's too fucked up on whiskey?
I don't know. Maybe he didn't really say he's ever had sex before. I guess he had. I don't know. Like, I don't know. But I'm saying,
he
like,
didn't
yeah.
explicitly
it's not like, oh, no, like, the alcoholic. I don't know. I'm sure he's just like, oh, damn, this actually worked this
every
time.
Once and in like, a while, too, like when it does, like when you basically when your dick goes limp once, you sort of start to think that it's like a chronic problem, and then it's a little bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like, I found that if you just get your dick hard and fuck, and you were like, I'm a beast, I can do it, then like you can usually overcome limp dick. It's literally only happened to me one time in my whole life.
Yeah, usually there's two types of problems. One is like, I can't get it up, and the other one's like, I go too fast. Like, I can't keep it down. Mm-hmm. And this guy's more on the first spectrum. I feel like I find myself more having problems with the other one, which is like...
come too quick.
Yeah.
You're a two-pump. Balls. Would you say you're a two-pump chump?
I would say I'm a three-pump hump.
Really?
Yeah. Like a little camel jerking off everywhere. I'm a three-pump hump.
I'm a nine-pump lump, meaning I just lie there and I sort of thrust upwards if somebody's on top.
Yeah.
Here's another thing I'd like to submit. I don't think the confidence comes into play even with talking to people. It's literally only approaching.
Oh, that's the breaking hump. The ice.
Yeah. The scariest thing is going up to someone.
Yeah.
Once you've gone up to someone, like if I'm introduced to somebody and they seem to like me, I'm fine.
Yeah, that's true.
But like if we're all standing in the corner of a bar and someone's like, hey, Jake, go talk to those girls.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to do that.
It goes back to that original math nerdy thing that I always think. It's all about the rate of change. To go from zero to conversation is the hard part. To stay conversing, that's like a plateau. That's easy.
But Jake, isn't the reason that, like, I don't know, like the reason why it's difficult to just go up to a random group partially, at least, this is how I see it.
Because I'm not a world famous rapper.
No.
I get it. Yeah, of course.
No, I'm a North American quasi famous comedian. It's not close. I understand.
You guys have done shows in Australia. Like, that's global.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate it.
You know, of course. But, you know, it's like, I started thinking about it, oh, like, if it's an attractive group of girls, like, you're not the first person who's done this tonight or to them in their life. And it sort of immediately lumps you in a category with a bunch of people who maybe are of lower value potentially, or, you know, and you don't want to just be another one of those things. It's much easier when there's some sort of way that you've in contact with a person rather than that. But
common ground and like sort of equal. I don't know what the word is exactly, but it's something like common ground, like, or even playing field. That's what it is. If I go up and I'm just like, hey, ladies, then I'm automatically in company that I don't want to keep because I'm every other creep that's gone up and said, hey, ladies.
So how do you get across the fact, like, don't worry, I'm not an asshole. I'm a normal guy.
Well, that's why it helps to be famous, because then people come up to you and they're like, oh, you're famous. And then like the girls would see that. And then they're like, oh, these guys are famous.
What if you're not famous? What
are you talking about?
Oh,
wow. You're more famous than I am.
You know what you could do is you could go up there.
Who's the most famous?
You could go up there and then have another friend be like, hey man, I don't want to bother you, but like I love doing that movie, and you're like, oh yeah, no, and then
the wingman,
like, and then yeah. they, and then you're just like, then you start talking, and you're like, yeah, that's just a fan, whatever. Yeah. No big deal.
Does this ever happen? Also, I saw you walking in with him, and
no, no, yeah, I don't know.
Him. I'm friends
He's
with all my
Uber driver.
There was one time when I was on a date and the girl went to the bathroom and somebody came up to me and they're like, sorry, I didn't want to bother you while you were on a date, but like, I just want to say I'm a big fan. And I was like, come
Get
back in 5 minutes, you fucking piece of shit.
Bother me on the date. This doesn't do me any fucking good.
You're bothering me now.
Your genuine interaction is meaningless to me.
Jake, why are you yelling at that stranger? I don't know. Dude, what were you saying to me about... Well,
you wanted a photo?
Mind. This guy was
no,
an
I'm
asshole.
Sorry. I thought you were the dude from Coldplay. Never mind.
Fuck. Shit. So what's... What, yeah,
oh,
I don't
Felipe.
Know.
Oh, well...
A little bit of drinking to loosen you up and not too much to get whiskey dick, I guess, is the basic general.
There consensus. Is a magic there's a magic point where you have the liquid confidence but not the liquid motor skills.
Yeah, there's a zone in the middle. You want to stay at a five.
But really, really, just learn to love yourself more.
Wow.
That's, yeah. That's better advice. We're telling him to just stay a little bit drunk.
No, it's, I mean, like, you know, one is like, I think, an immediate change. And the other one is like, you know, you're writing an email to, not us. I mean, I guess I'm just part of it, but you're writing an email to.
He was probably hoping you were here.
Yeah. Oh, he was actually. Yeah. You're writing an email to us, Felipe. And, you know, I know you're setting the scene, but like, you know, you could describe yourself in a more complimentary way. Like, you don't really. You don't want to go around, hi, I'm Felipe, and I'm not that attractive.
I'm only almost a dime. You are a dime.
We're all dimes, if you want to be.
And plenty of dimes are terrible people for other reasons.
Yeah, so you're true. Talking about just being physically attractive.
Yeah, that's just one small component.
I'll say this is a very well-written email. It seems like a very nice, normal dude. So yeah,
my fans are geniuses.
Believe in your smelf. This guy's 25 years old. Is that on the older end of your fandom? Or
I think it'd be like on the older end of someone who maybe like come to a show. Mm-hmm. Like the shows tend to be younger, but like anytime I'm in New York and like I run into someone, it's always like a 25-year-old.
You've been around for a minute now.
Yeah,
it's like
your fans have grown up with you.
They have.
All right,
seen that for sure.
We need another male's name for another male question.
This is still you.
Oh, it's still me.
You get the honor. You're the guest.
Damn.
You knocked it out of the park with Felipe Bonaventure, and I don't know what you're going to do.
I turn off my brain. I let whatever comes happen. Yeah. That's how that came. So what came now was Kellen Winslow.
Tight end for the Cleveland Browns 8 years ago?
No, his dad.
Oh, that's you're right. That was Kellen Winslow Jr. Got it. All right, Kellen Winslow Sr. writes, hey guys, I have a serious question. My granddad had a gold digger for the past 3 years. Recently, it's become more of a serious problem as she started talking about marrying her. He started talking about marrying her. She's in her 50s and he's in his 90s. She told him she would only move in with him if he married her. My granddad wants her to move in badly, but my cousins are living upstairs in his home because they can't afford a house and he can't climb the stairs anymore. This has led my granddad to becoming very hostile towards my cousin as he's eager to get them out of the house and get the gold digger in. Now, the gold digger. She had a former husband that she divorced because he was depressed. She rarely calls my granddad's house, but phones him twice a day when she's on her lunch break at the bank. She never helps him with anything when she's there. Whenever we try to do something to help him, she discourages him behind our backs. For example, once we tried to get him out of the house in a wheelchair, and she discouraged him, saying he had nowhere to be in the wheelchair, and he would end up rolling out into the road. At the moment, we have to keep the wheelchair at our house because he's scared that she will see it. If he marries her, she'll send him to a retirement home, wait for him to die. We've tried telling him what she's doing, but he doesn't believe anyone, and his memory is getting worse and worse and forgets the entire conversation. It seems like there should be some law against gold digging. Is there anything I can do about this? Don't just say you do you. Love, Kellen Winslow.
You do you.
Have you ever experienced this in IRL?
What was the cousin part?
Is that important? I'm saying that to me, it sounds like the cousins are gold diggers.
Oh, the cousins are living there for free. They're freeloaders.
Like, I don't want this gold digger moving in. I'll have to leave.
Kicking out my cousins.
Everyone's using the grandfather here.
Yeah, everyone's. But it should be cousins that use the grandkids.
Why? What happened? Like, they're just because they're related?
Yeah, because that's his grandchildren.
Well, the grandfather chose this woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like if you're 50 and you fuck a 90-year-old for 3 years, then you get money. That's doing the most work for your family.
That's a job. Like, she can work at a bank or she can fuck an old guy.
You want to fuck an old person for 3 years of your life?
Oh, so you're saying the gold, quote-unquote, I feel like gold digger is derogatory. Maybe we should just call her the 50-year-old lady in this case.
Sure. Well, I definitely question the title that she's been given as gold
unless
digger.
She has a shovel in 1940 San Francisco.
She's sifting. She's sifting for gold. She's mining. Yeah. So you're on the lady's side.
I'm not necessarily on the lady's side, but I'm definitely not on the cousin's side.
But this guy's neither of them.
Right. I guess
he's neither the cousin nor the lady.
Well, he's definitely he's on the cousin's side.
Yeah, he's on the cousin's side.
So I'm not on his side.
He's saying this woman is taking advantage of him, and then you're saying, "Hey, it's not taking advantage of, she's actually fucking the
no,
dude."
No, I'm saying everyone's taking advantage of him. So I want the lens to be widened a little bit.
Yeah.
Right now it's zeroed in on this lady, right. And I think he should look at this from a more holistic point of view of the grandfather's perspective. What makes the grandfather actually happy? Is it this lady? Then if so, there's got to be some way to more organically integrate her into his life.
I mean, let's kill her.
What? Wait a sec. Then we'll get her gold. Everything that she's sifted.
So you're like, the whole idea of like a lady marrying a guy, then when he dies, she gets all of his money. You're okay with that arrangement as long as the guy is happy and does it willingly.
I think so, yeah.
That's a hard stance to take, and I respect it.
Well, what's the... I just don't understand why the grandchildren are like, "That's my grandfather. That should be my money." That doesn't make that much sense.
You think it all has to do with money?
I mean, it seems like it seems like they're worried that she wants to come in and take the grandfather's money, and that she's no good for the grandfather. But that really does feel like it's a little secondary.
It all comes back to the cash that this guy is going to leave, and
that's why they have to kill her. But I mean, no, not really. I should do that.
We are condoning murder.
Well, she's waiting for him to die. She's in her 50s. She's got the money. You distance yourself, then you marry her when you're in your 50s, she's in her 90s, and the gold-digging cycle continues.
Oh my gosh, I like that. Well, Jake, would it change your mind if you found out that they actually weren't having sex?
Oh.
I guess...
That's a good question.
It would change my mind if the 50-year-old was like a very bad caregiver for the grandfather.
I mean, that's how she's being portrayed, obviously.
Well, so far it seems to be just a discrepancy about a wheelchair. And for all I know, the grandchildren might be in the wrong because they just want to put grandpa outside in the wheelchair.
Man. This is your mom or something. You're defending this lady tooth and nail.
I wish Kellen Winslow wrote if this lady was giving any blowjobs or not. Like,
right. I mean, at the
very
least...
figure out this.
We don't know.
Because what if he can't get hard? Then she should be dancing naked for him or something.
And then she deserves the cash.
Yeah, because then she's
like, but like $1 bill at a time.
It's funny. I read this question. I'm like, everyone's going to be against the lady. Maybe I'll throw out the idea that maybe it's not a crazy thing for her to be in the right. But you're like 100% gung-ho. Well, I mean,
the first sentence is... like, the gold digger wants to move in, and that can't happen because my cousin is living upstairs for free.
Multiple cousins.
Like, that's crazy to me.
But that's how family works. The default is family.
The grandfather wants the cousins out. That's not how family works.
He's 90. He doesn't know what's up, what's down,
on
who's
the
living up
of your
there.
I also have never had family that was like, oh, I guess my father is, like, super rich. When I was growing up, my grandparents, one grandfather, I don't think he had any money when he died. And my grandfather that's alive now, like, we're definitely paying for him to live. So I'm not, like, thinking about collecting a check anytime soon. I never had that, like, rich grandparent dying thing that other people get.
Yeah. Sometimes it's a great uncle.
My cash flow is coming when my father passes. And you better believe I am not letting a harlot into his house. Disrespecting my mother!
I'm gonna assume that the grandfather had a wife who maybe passed before he did.
That's a safe assumption.
So now he's, you know, he's found this opportunity here.
Yeah.
I mean, this is sort of like the 90-year-old dream, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
50-year-old. It's so funny. 50's like, so old.
I'm in my 20s and I can't wait to date a negative 20-year-old. So like,
it's going to be math sick works. One day. It's not nuts. A percentage. No, think of it as a percentage. So five ninths of you. So like you're dating a 15-year-old.
Yes. I've never done that ever.
We're going to edit this podcast. Oh, yeah. To just you're dating a 15-year-old. Yes.
No.
Yes. No. No. Never.
That's the bull quote.
She's mature for her age.
So Jake is on team 50-year-old lady.
I'm on team grandfather.
Okay. Whatever he just.
And right now the grandfather wants the cousins out of the upstairs and the 50-year-old sexy maid lady in.
We imagine her as being quite busty, right?
Oh my God, have you ever gone to the bank and just like wanted to pork your bank teller?
Yeah.
Okay, well that's what this granddaddy's doing. He's living the American dream, and I say we let him live it, because he's only got, I say, weeks, if not hopefully months to do it.
Oh, let him make a direct deposit to that ass.
Nice. Keep fucking Fannie Mae.
Or you can tell
him,
hey, Grandpa, you can marry this lady, but we're going to make a prenup for you.
Oh, that's nice. And
We want prenup.
But how is he going to, where are they going to do the wedding, though? City Hall? Are they going to wheel him down? Like, what is going on
there? Oh, no, the wheelchair is there. It's a no deal.
There's no access. It's all stairs. You have to do it in a very flat location. All right.
The driveway.
Is there anything I could do about this? You have to convince your grandfather. It's ultimately his decision. He's a 90-year-old man. He's been there before. Doesn't seem like he's all there mentally, which might be a problem for you.
Also, you got to learn to love yourself, man.
Yeah.
The tone of this email.
It comes back to self-love and self-worth.
Good lordy. Like. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with more questions for us and Hoodie.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again, all the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes, yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah, I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, mm-hmm. and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog, and it is a slog.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite? Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah, mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah, you put a little flea on like a bike, like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their fullname.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all these cool features and more, just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace. Thank you to Helix for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Jake, you love Helix. You sleep on a Helix.
I certainly do. That is correct. I'm proud to do it.
It's your favorite mattress. You know why? Because it's personalized mm-hmm. to you.
That's right. I took the sleep exam. I passed the sleep test. I am certified, licensed, professional sleep, not quiz, test taker. Kind of like the bar but for mattresses, folks.
Yeah, it says you take a Helix sleep quiz and you can find your mattress in under 2 minutes.
For some.
Super fast, super simple.
It took me 11 days to take that test.
Jesus Christ.
Yes. It was open book, but questions. I really wanted it to be perfect.
Of course it's open book. It's just how you sleep.
Not just that, but yeah, kind of.
And then Helix has a lineup of over 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection.
That's actually what I sleep on, folks.
Wow. So you take the quiz, and then they ship you the mattress. And all mattresses come with a 10 or 15 year warranty. So if you're sleeping on a mattress for so long, it might be time to upgrade. And the best way to upgrade is by going to helix.com/segments.
Right.
Then you take that quiz and you get 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows if you go to that URL.
Damn.
So check it out. Go to helixsleep.com/segments and use the code HELIXPARTNER20.
Right on.
So the URL is helixsleep.com/segments. The code is HELIXPARTNER20, all one word. You get 20% off your mattress.
Right.
This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long.
No, sir.
So with Helix, better sleep starts now. It starts right now.
That's right.
Thanks, Helix.
Thank you.
And we're back. Hujra, what brings you to Los Angeles? You don't live here.
I don't live here. I'm trying to make some new music.
Oh.
So I'm working with writers.
Okay.
And, well, not really working with producers. I'm writing songs with them. And yeah, so that's why I'm here, very casually.
What does it mean, like, you write, what does it mean you work with a producer? Like, what if you're a rapper, what part do you do and what part do the producers do?
Well,
And you work with different producers for every song?
Not for every song. You know, it's good to find like someone who you can gel with and do a couple multiple songs with, maybe even an album with.
Wow.
But yeah, so I've worked with a few different people while I've been out here. Just, you know, you start from scratch, you know, sort of basically make a beat, come up with, you know, melody ideas and a hook, maybe some lyrics. And
oh, so yeah. You start with the music, the beat, and then you like, okay, what lyrics would fit with this? Or you're like, I want to do a song about growing up. What beat can you do about that theme?
Yeah, well, it's perfect. Yeah, no, I think people have different styles. I usually let the music sort of inspire the ideas.
Oh, interesting.
So like once I hear something that I like, it will sort of just bring out some things from me. Like,
can you give me an example? Like you heard a beat and you're like, oh, this song should be about this.
I'm trying to think. I mean, it's not even necessarily... Sometimes I'm just like, I'll just like freestyle ideas, like freestyle singing sort of stuff. And like, then the words accidentally come out and form. And then like the idea sort of becomes cemented. It's a very like free form process.
Interesting.
Yeah. Very artsy.
So,
but you're not ever like Bunny Rabbit, Bee Rabbit in the back of the bus in 8 Mile,
scribbling.
Where you're like scribbling on a,
oh yeah, I mean, like when I actually write the verses, yeah, then I'm like writing.
But, then you're like listening to the beat and it's in.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm
gotcha.
Listening to the beat and writing the song and stuff like that. But
a
lot of the start by hand, no, but usually by computer.
Nice.
Yeah, I like just throw it in the laptop and stuff like that. But there are times when I'm like, oh, I have this idea, like in this concept and even some words, and you kind of wait till you find like the mood of a beat that like fits for it.
So just specifically, let's say the song Famous for Assholes.
Mm-hmm.
That was an idea you had? That was a...
No.
What was the origin of that?
Oh, man. I think we had that beat of the do-ch-ch-do-ch and like had that, and then it just sort of came out. Those words just came out.
Famous for Assholes came out while
you listened to the beat.
What about
James Franco?
That's a good question. I think I knew with that song that I wanted to make like a pop, like a song that sort of encompassed like the pop culture era that we were in, and I decided like early on in the process that James Franco was like the archetype for it, so I knew that he was going to be worked in there. But yeah, shout out to James Franco.
Has he heard that song?
I don't know. He's like, you know,
Davey definitely has.
Oh man, I hope Davey Franco, we pull him for you, man. You about to be a star.
Yeah. But, so last album came out when?
January.
And
it's called Happy Camper. I put it out for free. So,
oh, it was one of those free ones?
Well, yeah, you can buy it too if you want, but it's also for free.
What is that? What is
pay
that?
What you want?
I mean, I guess so.
Like, when I saw it on iTunes, was it free?
When you saw it on iTunes, you could buy it, but if you, obviously you could stream it on Spotify or SoundCloud, or you could download it directly on my website. Like, I've made it like one of those, like, if you click it, it downloads the zip file, and then you can put it in your iTunes and all that sort of stuff.
So, how do you track how many people
bought it or downloaded or listened to it?
Money in my bank account?
But if it's free.
Watch it go up. I downloaded it for free.
So. Oh, yeah. I got zero more dollars. the real answer is like I can see how many clicks that link has gotten.
Oh. So you know exactly, but not necessarily everybody has access to that number.
Nobody has access to that number, I guess, yeah.
And your next album will be the same thing? It's free if you want, or you can buy it on iTunes?
I don't know. I was thinking of charging like $1,000.
That's amazing.
And how many people would buy it.
That's cool.
If I could get like 5 people to buy it, like I can eat
potatoes. Yeah, you're breaking even. Yeah.
Expensive potatoes.
Yeah. You're buying really expensive potatoes.
Well, you have to recoup the recording costs and stuff.
Yeah,
oh, I see.
You got to recoup the recording costs and then get Idaho potatoes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I usually get Yukon Gold, but I don't have potatoes. It's cool too.
Sweet potatoes.
Oh, I like that. You like yams?
Potato pancakes.
Uh-huh.
Latkes.
Of course.
So you're in LA right now working on the next album.
And hanging out with you guys.
Oh, yeah, of course. What about a tour?
I don't know yet.
You don't know when you're
coming. I'm not here to promote anything. I'm here to give advice to lonely boys and girls.
You're just here to chill.
Yeah, which is cool. I don't have like...
Do you have stuff planned like...
Oh, I'm going to Europe in August and September, like a European tour.
But that's, and do you do that just like when you want to? You contact people and you're like, because now I'm curious.
Yeah.
Just
like, before he wasn't interested at all.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, thinking about potatoes.
Do you get to just decide what you like? Hey, now I feel like recording. I'm going to do that. Or like, oh, now I feel like going on tour. Or is it more regimented?
Sort of. I mean,
is there a season?
There's a cycle to it. Like, you know, I've been on tour like most of this year. And like February and March was like the, you know, like the ticketed tour. And then like April was a lot of college shows. And then I knew I'd have a period of time off. So like, that's a good time to write new music. And then kind of think, well, this is going to take me this long. And then that means I should probably go back on tour here. So like, you know, those tours get planned out like months in advance.
Right.
So usually it's good if you line it up with like new music. And put some thought into it, so it's not just a random. Like, oh, I'm on tour again. You know, that's how I've felt like things have been successful. Yeah. Right.
And how many of those cycles have you done? Like new album tour, new album tour.
Oh my god, it's a bunch since 2012. Oh my god, I'm old.
No, we're old.
Yeah, yeah. You're still in your 20s.
I've probably done like 7 national U.S. tours, I think, at this point.
Jesus.
But damn, you are old.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't realize how old you were.
Yeah.
God. That's really old. You sleep on a bus and all that shit?
Oh, I do sleep on the bus. Sometimes when I sleep on the bus for a while, I can't even go back to sleeping in a bed for I have to.
You need that rumble.
Yeah, like I can't, I don't just like ask people to like let me sleep in their cars and drive me around, but like I like that because like the rumble is legit.
Do comedians ever do, like, I feel like that's what we're missing out. When Jake and I like do shows, we do like 4 shows, we're sleeping in a hotel, wake up, drive. We're not ever doing like sleeping on a bus, waking up, going to sound check, doing a show, then sleeping on a bus.
We don't have the footprint that like an actual show like hoodies would have.
Like, we don't have that many people working
for
us.
Yeah, like, if we had a crew and all that shit, then maybe we would need a bus. But anytime we travel,
it's like...
It's us two and, like, yeah, it's basically 4 people is usually, like, the max that we have on a tour. So yeah. Having a bus would be kind of overkill.
Awesome.
But it would be awesome.
Hey, maybe we should get a bus. Even if it's just, like, an RV, we can hire someone to ship us, basically, to the next city while we're sleeping.
Yeah, and that would be awesome.
It seems like with 4 people, it almost makes sense to like fly places.
Would you, this is crazy, would you be our driver for the next tour?
He's about to go to Europe.
I know, but if you...
No, I actually think I would very much like being your driver.
I have to advise you against that. Your time is so much better spent.
No, I really have nothing going on.
Yeah, he can drive our van overnight, and then when we get to, let's say, a Kansas City or a Tuscaloosa, Alabama...
Of course.
What happens to the drivers? They sleep in the car. Oh, they'll do meth?
Oh, they'll do a little meth? Now I'm on board for this tour.
Some drivers do drugs. I remember I was on a big summer tour where I was the opener, and a couple of like the truck drivers got like kicked off the tour for like doing like a really crazy cocktail of like illegal drugs and then like driving.
Oh, while they were driving? That's fucking really bad.
I guess it's kind of crazy because they have to drive all night.
I mean, like the lives they live are very crazy and counter to
right
normal people. So sometimes
you have to be a little you have to be a little wild if you're like, I want to drive a tour bus for a living, or I want to carry sound equipment.
It's a good paying job. The tour bus driver is like the highest paid person oftentimes of a crew member. So any kids listening who are like, I want to go to college, but I might just want to drive a tour bus, drop out of school.
Drive a tour bus.
And with that bit of free advice, let's get back into the paid advice. We have another question from a British university student. So Woody's loving it. If you have a British dude's name, we can answer this guy's question. Oh, he's laughing. Now he's crying.
I'm thinking.
Now he's eating a banana. Now he's asleep. He's asleep.
Oh, yeah. It's got to be like... Okay. You guys decide. Is it...
Oh, like a vote.
Yeah, it's a vote.
All right.
Wait,
get up to the mic.
Rupert the Fourth?
That's good.
Very or British. Harry Potter?
Oh.
HP?
I think Rupert the Fourth.
Well, now you guys are split and there's no one to decide except for me again.
You're back again.
That's why I'm choosing the Weasley twins.
I'm going to go Rupert the Fourth.
Hell yeah. Right, okay. Rupert the Fourth writes, massive fan and listener since episode one. I'm a British university student.
Well, that's the British accent.
Yeah. that's all I have. All I can say is massive. Massive fan.
Massive fan.
Inches wide. What a strike. I'm a British university student, and this summer I'm coming to America to work as a camp counselor. Summer camps are basically unheard of in the UK, so this summer is going to be an interesting experience as they are a bit of an alien concept to me. All I really know from them is from watching American TV and films based around camps. What I would like to know is your experience at summer camps, if any. What should I expect as a counselor, and anything I might need to know about summer camps? Thanks, guys. Love, Rupert the Fourth. P.S. If you ever play the game where you give her... Oh, this guy just including random words, just in case we search those words, is Bluetooth, Pepperoni, Industrial, Clunge, Ancestry, and Crundle. Fortunately, we liked your question so much we're choosing it au naturel. Let's give it up for Rupert Fourth. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hoodie, did you ever go to sleepaway camps?
This is like, I feel like you either do this or this is just the perfect episode for me to be on because, like, I went to sleepaway camp for a long time and I'm very familiar with the idea of a British counselor or
a
counselor from another. That's like a very common thing.
This
did
is
you guys go to sleepaway camp? You had to go.
I never did.
Oh, bad Jew.
Yeah. I was also a bad Jew. I didn't want
to. I'm the only one here with sleepaway camp experience.
Did you go to Jewish sleepaway camp?
What does that mean? By nature, a lot of them are just sort of Jewish in their composition.
Right, but like,
but not, they're not making you do like
prayers.
Yeah, you ain't going like, Hava.
That's how Amir spent his summer anyway.
Job,
he just wanted to do it alone.
I didn't go to summer camp, but I would say 99.9% of my friends did.
It was a punishment that you're.
Yeah, why didn't you go? What happened?
I was like afraid to like sleep away at age 10, so like I never wanted to go. I did like sports plus sports day camp. Yeah. But I never did like Jewish sleepaway camp. But then like all my friends would come back and they had hand jobs and like fingerings and I never did any of
that. I'm saying like I don't still, like it. Yeah. I think it's very, it's very important.
14-year-olds. So what is your specific summer camp, sleepaway camp experience?
Fantastic.
Where was it? What was it called?
I mean, I don't know if I'm just giving free promo.
That's okay. If you like the camp.
I do like the camp.
There we go.
Yeah, it was in Wayne County, Pennsylvania. It's called Shenawanda.
Okay.
I went a while ago.
Of course.
It was like two summers ago. Instead of my European tour, I went back to.
And you had like camp friends that you only saw during these camp sessions.
I think I picked the camp because. A lot of the kids who lived in my town went there,
right?
And I was in a different school than them, so it was a way for me to like become friends with the kids who were in my town partially. But then it was just like the place; it was the thing to do.
Yeah,
like you go for 8 weeks, and
8 weeks.
Yeah,
you don't come back home for 8 weeks.
Nah, and you play sports, and you hang out with girls. And you hang out with boys too, I guess, in the bunks.
Yeah. I don't know why I didn't go. This sounds so fun. Like, I would love to do it right now. Is there like an adult sleepaway camp?
They just saw it on like Shark Tank.
Oh, really?
They do it in New York.
Just like a bunch of 30-year-olds.
It's
a little lame.
Yeah.
It definitely is cool in theory. And then you're like, oh, but all these people like paid a shitload of money to just like go and play dodgeball near a lake. I don't know.
So what I want to do is I want to go back in time and convince the 14-year-old me to give it a try.
It's very developed. Like you're gonna have your first of a lot of things,
right?
Yeah, you're gonna always. It's one of those things where you could always be like, "Oh man, you remember that like that championship game we played and Marty hit the 3-pointer?" It's like, you know, like, well, no, I wasn't there, so I don't remember it. But like, you know, you just have a. I remember like going to like sneaking out of the bunk and going to girl side and like staying over there, and like you can't go to girl side at night, like that's like illegal. And then you go and like you hook up with a girl, and then you like have to sneak all the way back, but then like the security like might find you and hunt you down, and then you miss field trips if that happens and stuff like that.
Right.
Isn't it funny that parents, I mean, it's not like parents don't know this happens at camp.
Yeah.
Like if you're the parent of a 15-year-old.
But that's the older spectrum of camp though. There's like 7-year-olds too.
Right. But like what if I have a 15-year-old one day and I'm just like, all right, I send you to camp to go get fingered by a bunch of different boys.
Oh, you mean if your daughter is going to camp?
Yeah. Like your parents know what you do at camp.
But well, I think your daughter will definitely be, you know,
you can't have
frisky.
Say it,
risque.
You're talking about my
mom.
My daughter. My daughter would just
always think things
be playing volleyball.
Mother.
All right. So what the fuck are we telling?
Yeah, wait.
This guy?
What are we telling this
that
guy?
Summer camp.
You said you had specific experience with British.
Yeah,
campers.
I mean, I had Australian counselors, I had New Zealand counselors, I had British counselors. This is a big thing for like people from the UK, I feel like, to come over to these places, and they're like, oh, I'll like, you'll like be like a soccer specialist and a general counselor. And,
I bet they're also fucking each other, these counselors.
Definitely.
Yes, they are. That's another really good part of it for them. It's like, you know, like sometimes the girls who are, well, it can be boys too, but like, let's just say sometimes the girls who are campers eventually get, like, they stay in camp and now they're too old to be campers. They turn into counselors and they you know, so they're counselors themselves. And they're like, oh, wow, who are these? Who are these 19-year-old, like, UK boy and then, like, 19-year-old, like, Jewish girl, and they have a fun summer Mexican cultures together.
It seems like the rules are actually, like, the rules getting broken are way more severe at the top. Like, when you're 10, you're sneaking around playing spin the bottle and, like, you know, stealing girls' underwear and putting them on the flagpole, I think, from watching or from reading R.L. Stine
shorts.
But anyway, when you're a counselor, you're like, oh, you're sneaking around and you're like smoking weed and fucking people.
Wait, why didn't
I mean, a lot of my friends got kicked out of camp for smoking weed.
Why didn't you do summer camps? Did your friends not do it?
Most of my friends, we had like a pool club that was like near our house. So all of the kids in the neighborhood just went and did that. But I also like, I love my mother too much to leave her during the summer. Are you kidding? That's prime me and mom time. When I was 12, camp was, I think I might have even talked about this on the podcast before, but my mom and dad used to threaten me with camp. Like, if you don't, like, get your grades up, we're going to send you to sleepaway camp.
Yeah.
And I was like, no.
We're going to send you to a place where there's a lake and you play sports and hook up with ladies all night.
Yeah. Like, you better not take away my summer with my mother. I want to play tennis with mommy.
I want to go shopping for school supplies with mom in July before the sales hit.
But it sounds like the advice for this guy is to just, like, enjoy it. This is going to be fun.
Oh, man,
right?
You're going to have this amazing summer, man.
You're going to have a 3-month-long boner.
And I mean, like, especially coming from England, he's going to be such a novelty.
But don't expect to be the only English guy there, all right?
Really? Is there multiple? There's going
to
be...
Oh, yeah. You better have your game ready to go, because there's going to be more handsome British men there, too.
And you better hope to God there's not an Australian there, because that's even more exotic, even hotter.
Yeah,
that's where the guys are even hotter, and their accents are slightly weirder. So you're fucked if there's an Australian guy there. And if there's a guy from New Zealand,
relax.
Just fucking blow your brains out in bunk 9. It's not going to happen for you. But if you're the only exotic person there, game
but,
over.
But, you know, baby. Treat the kids well. Like, you know, those could be people who you end up knowing for a long time as they grow up. Like, you know, I had counselors for... you know, once you have them for 1 year, like, and they come back, like, they come back with the same bunk usually. So, like, you have that person again and again. I went on tour, like, this past February and March, and, like, in Chicago and Wisconsin dates, two of the people who were my counselors when I was at camp were there.
Wow.
Like, we're still cool.
That's awesome.
So
lifelong friends.
So you could make some real, yeah, you can make some real connections here and go have fun, British guy. what is his name? Ronald the Fourth?
Fuck. Yeah, Rupert the Fourth.
Rupert the Fourth.
Rupert. We're almost out of time, but I did want to do a freestyle advice one. So maybe we'll read this question. Man. We won't delve too much into it. We'll just give our
straight up advice.
Straight up
immediate
advice.
Immediate reaction.
Yeah, as a rap, freestyle rap. Let me read the question first.
Of course.
It's from a lady. Nice. That means you have to come up with a lady's name.
Oh. Salston.
Salston. I love it.
Charlene.
Charlene Salston writes, I love my husband, but I feel like it's become more of a best friend relationship. Our sexual needs have always been a bit out of sync, and I play a dangerous game of sexual chicken where I stopped initiating sex to see how much he wanted me. The answer ended up being not nearly as much as I need, and the frequency that we have sex has steadily declined until now where almost nothing is happening at all, maybe 5 times this year. Whew. I've told him about my Mexican standoff, and he made more of an effort, but now I'm entirely disinterested in having sex. I thought maybe my libido was just gone, but recently we tried to set some friends up on it and went on a double date with them, and the entire time we were at dinner, all I could think about was this other guy, Nick, and if I can get him to choke fuck me in the bathroom before either of our dates missed us. I try to avoid talking to Nick when we hang out with that group of friends because I honestly don't trust myself with him. But it's really hard to avoid him since we hang out in this group of friends fairly often. The bigger problem is that when I talk to Nick, I get so wet I could drown a toddler, but I can't even get it up for my husband. Should I try to stick it out with my husband until I become disinterested in him sexually again? Sorry, should I try to stick it out with my husband until I become interested in him sexually again? Or is my attraction to Nick simply a sign that I need to move on? Thanks, Charlene. P.S. I'm 27. We've been together for 7 years, and sex has been an issue for at least 4 of them.
Let's go! You need that dick. You gotta fuck Nick. You gotta fuck Nick. He is sick. His dick is thick. You gotta fuck Nick. You gotta fuck Nick. I think that you should just fuck Nick.
Yeah, drowning in that shit from Nick. Everything you do is so sick.
Woo.
Have you heard of Ashley Madison? Take Nick to the Radisson.
Oh.
Yeah, this shit is happening.
Your
husband's got a real small peen.
Oh,
I don't even know what that mean.
Come on.
Mine's way bigger in comparison.
Yeah.
Fuck Nick. Hang out with me and Marvin Harrison.
Oh, wow.
He's a pro bowler.
All right. Give me a beat because I got to go. Whoa. Hey, you, stick with your husband. Your life of loveless, sexual, nothing. It's an arid desert from now until you die. But don't cry. You have kids. Invest in them. As you slowly become disinterested in fucking your husband, what's the point? You've seen that dick from end to joint.
Yeah,
you've
head to that- joint. That's one dick. You might want to go and see Nick's. I don't need a beat. I can do it a cappella. Fuck me and Nick. We are real fine fellas. Why am I auditioning to have some sex with Charlene? Well, I just know that I'm the best when it comes to having sex. We can do it doggy. We can hang out. Oh shit, my mom's listening to this podcast right now. I'm just kidding. I am a virgin. So is your husband. God is great.
Fuck a Jesus. Beat. I can go a cappella.
Let's go!
Let's go!
Let's go indeed.
I do think she shouldn't cheat on her husband.
Oh.
I think that they should break up.
Isn't it weird?
It's time for you to wake up.
Oh.
Girl.
Wow.
Take off all that makeup. And maybe you can make up.
Wow.
Girl. And I know you really need that dick, and your husband's not giving it. Maybe you should think again if you want to sit, consider it. Maybe you should not play those games.
Ooh, I like that.
Sexual life is so insane, girl. I know you're waiting for that dick.
Let's
go. I'm done.
That was a good song.
That was awesome.
That was really good.
Hoodie, I feel like I had to top the last time.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely.
Regaling us with your stories, your raps, your singings, your wisdom, your advice. Anything to plug? Anything at all? Snapchat, Instagram, come on, Facebook. Please. Just say something. People want more.
Snapchat, Hoodward Allen. And let me know if you think that I should perhaps start a podcast of my own. Shout out to the HeadGum Network. You know what we do all day. Fuck. We out here.
You guys, if you want Hoodie to have his own podcast, hashtag Hoodie Podcast.
I'm not going to check that hashtag.
we will.
We will. Oh, we will. If you have your own questions, your own theme song submissions, that email address for everything is ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. We'll do our best to answer it. Sometimes we'll have Hoodie. Sometimes we won't. That's just the nature of the business. He's not always in Los Angeles. We're doing what we can.
40 episodes, though, hopefully.
That opening theme song, I forget who it was.
Scream to Breathe.
Oh, yeah. Scream
to Breathe. Yeah, dude.
Already downloaded the whole discography.
That's for Claire. And this closing one was written by a guy named Amir, but A-M-E-R. It's called Here Comes the Wolf. Ta-da. Thanks for listening, everybody. And let's go!
That was a HeadGum Podcast.